You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is...
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan, we are back after doing a Mirror Universe episode in which we had the indentured servants, Neelix and Kes, plot their escape, hijinks ensued, and we are back to do another Mirror Universe episode, as we teased last week, because we kind of planted the kernel of a way to continue this whole thing there. And normally, we would not necessarily jump right into doing yet another episode in the Mirror Universe. We would normally spread this out, but we have a very good reason for doing another Mirror Universe episode back to back. And why don't you tell everybody what that is?
The reason why is because this is going to be the last Mirror Universe episode that we create here on To the Journey, because as of today, this is episode 188. Char, you and I are going to be leaving To the Journey as of episode 190. Now, this is not the end of To the Journey. This show that you're listening to right now is going to continue on with new people, new hosts, and new ideas.
And still on Trek FM.
We have no idea who is going to take our place. We have no role in that decision, but that will be revealed to you at a later date at the appropriate time. You know, we've been thinking about doing this for a while now. We always knew that there was going to be an end to our tenure onto the journey, because, you know, there's just, even though we love Star Trek Voyager, there's only so much you can talk about.
So this decision has actually been kind of in the making for about the better part of a year now, where we started, I don't know, yearning a little bit to do maybe just a little bit more than Star Trek Voyager, because we like a lot of the same things in terms of entertainment, TV shows especially. And as much as we love Voyager, we started thinking, gosh, if only we could do this or this or this. And of course, the scope of this podcast is not conducive to that. And so... that was sort of the start of, well, maybe we should eventually let go. And I have said on this show before, and it was a long time ago, though, you know, I thought we were going to do this forever till we're 85. Well, the truth is, we're going to stop at 190 because we want to go out on a really good high note. And I feel like we've achieved that. We're going to do that. And it's time to turn it over, though, and let somebody else have a voice. We've been talking for a long time. It's going to be 4 years when we're done. And so somebody on Trek FM, there's plenty of other people who can come in and you're going to get their perspective. And then meanwhile, we have some things in development.
Yes, we do. That's the thing, is that when you said, you know, like we're going to be doing this till we're 85, that could possibly be because you and I, even though you and I are leaving To the Journey together, we are not leaving each other. We have a project in the works.
We do.
And we have been working on this for quite some time. And when you were talking about what's conducive on this podcast is, you know, like we kept racking our brains. We're like, we want to do something more outside of the realm of Star Trek Voyager. Then we started thinking, you know what? We want to do things outside of the realm of Star Trek. And, you know, we're on a Star Trek network. And so that is why we are exploring avenues outside of Star Trek and outside of Trek.fm. But this is not the end of our association with Trek.fm.
Right. That's an important note to make. Yes. When the schedules and the time zones align, we're going to make appearances whenever we can. And meanwhile, we're going to be doing our thing, too. We're by no means ending our tenure as podcasters. I do feel like we are going to do that till we're at least 85.
That's what it feels like. And that's the thing is that we wanted to let you guys know that you will be able to find us. We will be able to continue to create content for you guys, hopefully keep you interested, hopefully keep you laughing. And we are not going to reveal what that project is at this time. We will reveal it to you before we leave To the Journey so that you know where to find us, because we love our listeners. We love interacting with you, and hopefully you guys will follow us. Hopefully you will continue to be subscribed to this show and continue to support Trek.fm, but hopefully you will make room in your schedule for our new project as well.
Yes, and I can understand why maybe this is a little bit of a shock to our listeners, because even last week we were talking just about how much our listeners mean to us, how they keep us going, how we love the interaction and the feedback, and we do. And meanwhile, we've had this on our brains for several months now, but yes. We couldn't tell you until just now when it's time. We do hope that you're going to follow us. If you appreciate us, and we know that there's a lot of people who do, and we're so incredibly flattered by that, please, by all means, tune into what we have in store for you, because I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yes, absolutely. And I cannot wait to see where To The Journey goes.
Yeah, me too. New voices. This is exciting. It's going to be refreshing. I think it's going to be good. And you know what? Shows do this all the time.
Yes, that's the thing. This is not the ending of something. This is the branching out and beginning of something new. So hopefully you guys are excited for us, because we are excited. We are not downtrodden. We are not sad about this. Like, we are ready to go. We're ready to try something new. We love To The Journey, and it'll always be the place where we started something new and gained a listener base. And while we're thinking about it, while we're talking about it, we want to thank Chris Jones for everything that he's done for us and To The Journey.
Got us started, gave this show a home, and is going to continue to give it a home to whoever's hands it ends up in next.
Absolutely. So as we say again, please continue to listen. Please continue to support Trek.fm. And we will let you know more as we move forward.
That's right. So for now, this is all that we have for announcements, but stay tuned, because we'll have more for you next week regarding the next phase for us. Now, all that said, we do have a show in store for you, and that is the Mirror Universe version of Fury.
That's right. Now, this is a episode on the fly. We have not thought about this. We have not talked about this. This is our whiteboard episode, as it were, where we're going squeaky, squeaky, squeaky.
That's right. We have to clean off what we did last week, because that was also written on the fly. We've gotten a lot of improv going lately. That's kind of become our wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. And normally we recap what happened in the previous episode, but so much did that we're really just going to say, listen to the episode if you can, because you really need it to understand what's going on here.
It was also last week's show, the previous episode. Yeah. So if you haven't listened to that, stop now, go back, listen to that. And then if you have listened to that, hi, welcome back. And here we go.
Okay, here we go. So, erasing the board, Fury, Mirror Universe episode, Kes is gone, Neelix is dead. Now, when is this going to take place? I'm thinking far into the future, because Fury in the Prime timeline took place at the end of season 6.
Yes.
I think that would be a good place to pick it back up.
Yes. Okay, I didn't know if you were talking far flung in the future, like 10 years from now, or because that kind of poses a little bit of a problem with Kes and her very abbreviated lifespan. No, I think we keep it exactly where it is. It's just enough time to, maybe almost forget. And then here comes Kes making a roaring comeback. And what has she been up to this whole time?
I feel like what she's been doing this whole time is that she has been plotting her revenge.
Absolutely.
She has been training. She has been developing her skills. She's been seeking out shamans in distant lands who can help her develop her telekinesis and her powers and her prowess, ready to pounce and attack Voyager and fulfill her promise of getting Tuvok and B'Elanna out of there, as well as seeking revenge against Harry Kim.
That's right. And so we have the built-in goal right there. That's exactly what she's going to set out to do. That's why she's going to be back on Voyager. Hijinks are going to ensue, because we're going to have a lot to play with, I think, in terms of her mental abilities. That's super powerful, and she's had some time now to really rein in these skills, and it's going to be up to us as to what she's learned, which could be very dangerous.
Now, this idea just popped in my head, and let me know if you want to run with it or if you have something better.
All right, hit me.
Since it's in the future, since we're at the end of season 6, and the last episode that we talked about was in season 3, at the end of season 3.
Yes.
I feel like we should come back and Harry Kim is the captain.
Has he made it that far?
I feel like he has actually taken control of the ship. He has succeeded in his goal. to take over the ship.
Ooh, a lot of change there. Do we reveal what happened to Janeway and Chakotay and pretty much everyone who stood in Harry's path?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's catch up the listeners. Let's catch up the viewers
okay.
on what happened. I'm thinking we got to keep Janeway. I'm thinking she's first officer. Like he keeps her as for
no. Okay, yes. No.
Listen to my reasoning. No, listen to my reasoning.
All right, you I'll can listen, still but I don't it. Like it already.
You can still erase it. You can still say no, but listen to it.
Okay, I'm listening.
Chakotay's dead because Harry saw him as too... I know, one solitary tear. Harry has seen him as too much of a threat because he is too straight-laced. He would be an annoyance. He would constantly be bickering at him to keep the ship in pristine order, to not put it at risk. And with Janeway, he loves the humiliation. He loves keeping her around, knowing that she once was the captain, but now she is not, because he has the support and the numbers. And so it's a reminder to him that he is supreme and she is not. It's a dominance thing.
Yes, which of course falls right in line with the fact that he feels entitled to power. This is very satisfying for him. Yeah. And meanwhile, of course, we could have Janeway plotting her revenge to take back what is rightfully hers as the captain of the ship. I almost feel, though, like she simply would not stand for that. She would almost rather go down in a blaze of glory than be demoted on her own ship, because how dare he? How gross. No, I almost feel like Janeway and Chakotay, I do agree, Chakotay's got to be dead. But I almost feel like because of the way we played with Janeway and Chakotay in the Mirror Universe, it's almost got to end like kind of like a murder-suicide kind of thing or something. Something really outrageous.
Well, so you want to kill off Janeway and Chakotay?
I feel like that's the only way Harry honestly can rise to power. Yeah.
No, you got to play with Janeway. You got to keep her in the sandbox. Come on.
What is she? Is she really going to be the first officer to Harry?
Well, okay, let's frame it. Let's figure that out.
She's in the brig.
No, we have a okay. Maybe that's another way we could play it. Maybe that's how it is. Maybe she's not the first officer. Maybe she's not on the bridge, but she's in the brig. Now, here's some rationale here.
Yeah,
there's two ways that we can play it. We can continue with the first officer thing, where maybe Harry has something over her. Maybe Harry.
Uh-huh. Okay, now that could work.
Here's another alternate idea. Since this is the Mirror Universe and we can do whatever we want, maybe Chakotay is in the brig. He's not dead.
Okay.
Chakotay's in the brig, and some, like, in this universe, like, we did have an episode where she just played with his emotions. Maybe that play turned into something real. And Harry will kill Chakotay at a moment's notice by filling the brig with gas, unless, if Catherine steps out of line.
Ooh, okay, so that would be really good. That really has much more control over the balance of power that way, and it's much more interesting, if you ask me. And maybe because Janeway does have some sort of feeling in her black heart... for Chakotay, she can't possibly let him just be gassed at a moment's notice. So she gets played a lot here with this, on this very delicate balance to do things she doesn't really want to do in order to preserve Chakotay's life.
Right.
Maybe that's why she is subservient.
Yes.
And then on top of that, Harry has, over the years, recruited enough numbers to overtake the ship. And she's lost everything, just about. She's a very broken woman.
Yes. Yes, that's what I want to see. And I keep picturing, like, the ready room being Kim's, and Janeway comes in, and he constantly has a live video feed of Chakotay behind him on the wall.
Oh, God. Oh, that's awful.
So she can see him while they're having these conversations. So whenever she starts to disagree with him or steps out of line or gets sassy or sarcastic... all he has to do is just point to the video feed and then have his hand over the button.
Uh-huh. Ooh. Harsh, but I like it. Yeah, powerful stuff. Okay. Boy, that's just evil. This is not the kind of world I want to live in.
Okay, now Tuvok and B'Elanna.
Yeah.
We don't want to kill them.
No, they have to be alive.
Yeah, where are they? What's going on? Like how is the situation worse for them?
Ooh.
What's life like underneath the tyranny of Captain Kim?
Oh boy. Yeah, it's got to get worse because Kim's not going to have any respect for them whatsoever. How can we make it worse? Because they're not very high on the totem pole as it is.
Well, I mean, B'Elanna was head of engineering.
Have they been relegated to being the servants now because Neelix and Kes are gone?
Yeah. Yes, that's where my brain was going, is that like they are now the new Neelix and Kes.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to run the kitchen, and even if B'Elanna's a brilliant engineer, she's got to brilliantly cook breakfast now.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that that's how devious Kim is that he would rather see her in shackles and an apron than see her doing what's best for the ship. Because maybe he found his own engineer.
Yeah, and they're under constant surveillance, because if they dare try poison the food, that's it. They're done. They're axed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Oh, wait. He uses Tuvok as the tester. As the taste tester.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, there's no choice. They have to do their jobs properly. And when did Harry take over the ship? I suppose we should decide that, because how long has he had his reign of power? How long has this been going on? And how frustrated are B'Elanna and Tuvok at this point?
For some reason, I'm thinking it's 3 years later. I'm saying he's been in charge for a year.
That's what I was thinking, too. Okay, done. A year. A year of hell, if you will.
So, okay, a year of fury.
Oh! Nice.
All right. Okay, so we have, the stage is set.
It is.
And everybody else is still in their positions. You know, like Tom is still at the con. And Tuvok and B'Elanna are in servant positions. He has his own people in engineering and in ops. Janeway is the first officer, reluctantly. Chakotay is in the brig. And then we have Kes, who is like, we see her, she's on a planet doing the whole, you know, cross-legged floating in the air thing.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just the first thing that popped in my head. Like, she looks like Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen, just like floating around constantly.
Like, okay, is this how she sleeps? Is she meditating? What's she doing?
She's meditating.
Okay. I have an idea. I want to know what you think about this. What if after she leaves Voyager, she goes and finds the Ocampans that were living with Suspiria to train her mind? And she's going to recruit them to help her board Voyager and have her way with them.
I like that idea. I just want to add a little flavor to it. When she goes to them, she's an old woman.
Well, she's certainly aged, because she probably does not have a high warp capability ship. So let's say maybe this has also been about, a year and a half in the making. She finally got there a year and a half ago, prior to our episode, and has been training with them since.
But here's the thing, is that because she reaches the Ocampa, who are in league with Suspiria, they have de-aging capabilities, or lifespan, life-altering capabilities. So she's an old woman.
Which they do.
But yeah, exactly. But when she trains with them, and once she's done training, we see her as how she was when she left 3 years ago.
Ooh, I like it. Okay.
She's actually 6 or 7 years old, but looks like she's 2.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Now, is she taking people with her to do this, or is she doing it on her own? Does she feel powerful enough to do that?
I feel like this could be maybe a Han Solo type situation, where she goes by herself, but then at the last minute, we have the cavalry come to support her. Like, when she thinks all is lost, they're the people at the end who come and help save the day. Like, a league of Ocampa come and help. Like, okay. In this universe, maybe, like, that realm of Ocampa are actually quite powerful.
Okay, okay. Now, does she know that they're on their way, or is that a surprise?
I say we keep it a surprise, but there needs to be a reason.
But does she know?
Because
the reveal to the audience is different than what is in the back of her mind. Because I feel like she could play this very well, where she is alone, and she's gonna maybe play a little bit of damsel in distress, since she is by herself, saying, "Oh, I have nowhere else to go. I was at least, fairly safe aboard Voyager. Would you please consider taking me back?"
I think it would work well if she knew, because in that moment, when her back's up against the wall, she can have like a pithy phrase. We're like, "I didn't come alone." Like, there's a fleet of Ocampa
right,
that come in.
Right, but I think it would be interesting to play it where she is putting herself in a very vulnerable position. And as the audience, you're not completely sure why, because there was a reason why she wanted to escape in the first place. "What are you doing, Kes?" And this is why, because she knows the cavalry's coming.
Yes, I think that's good. I think it needs to be like Fury, where she comes in and she plays distressed. You know, she plays disabled.
Yeah, yeah. Fireworks blowing up consoles and behind her.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Kim cannot wait to get his revenge. He cannot wait to get her. And so he disregards all warning signs and says, like, "Beam her aboard, throw her in the brig," and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. More people, more hands, more bodies to do his bidding. Yeah, it's a good thing for him, right? You'd think.
Okay, but here, why are the Ocampa going to help her out?
That's a good thing we need to figure out. What if by reawakening Kes's telekinetic abilities, they realize just how incredibly gifted she is? She is now a force among these people. She is their champion.
Ooh, she's like the Neo in the Matrix. It becomes almost like religious zealots, where they're like, "Holy crap, you know, like Kes is the one that the ancients told us about," or something like that.
She will succeed Suspiria as their leader.
Yeah.
Because Suspiria is dying. She is their hope for the future.
I like it.
Got all her stock in her, and they have to preserve and protect her.
Dude, this episode could be an entire season of near-universe possibilities.
And this is based off of Fury, which was a craptastic episode. It didn't have to be. I think we're proving that right now. But here we are.
Well, we do have the mirror universe that we created to help back this.
Oh, that's true. And there's a lot more drama going down in this universe, obviously.
Yeah exactly. Okay, so that's the reason why they help, is because she has become an inspiration to them. She is an example of what they can be or could be.
Yes, she's showing them what they can aspire to be.
Right.
I mean, like, they trained her, but she's taken it even further and shown them that there's more room to grow. That's revolutionary, right? Yes, of course it is.
Yes.
Okay, so that's why the Ocampa are behind her. I have an interesting thought. What if Harry doesn't want to throw her in the brig? What if she says, "You know, I would love to do a shift or two in the kitchen. What would you say?" And Harry at first is like, "Are you sure you're not going to be causing some trouble here?" She's like, no, honestly, I've missed it. Or what if Harry makes her do it because he's a sadist? And you don't even have any plans to work with. We gave that up after you left. You have to work with replicated crap. We could have a little small exchange with Kes, B'Elanna, and Tuvok. Basically like, "Hey, I haven't forgotten. I'll meet up with you later."
How about this? Where we'll take what you say. I think that's a great idea. Let's not do it where it's her idea. Let's do the Fury thing where, like, she is distressed, but she's not exploding consoles behind her because she's not letting them see her hand right away. Where she's in the ready room, she has cuffs on. She looks famished. Like, she looks gaunt. You know, like, she's playing it like she's sick. And she talks to Kim, and like Kim says, "Why'd you come back? You knew that you were gonna die if you came back." And she goes, "I had nowhere else to go. You know, like I ran out of food. You know, like I have no friends. My ship is clearly disabled. You were the closest thing, you know, like nearby of any kind of civilization." And he goes, he's like, well, you know that we're not exactly civilized. And he's like, we could always use extra help in the kitchen. He's like, but first, wear this. And it's a collar that disables mental, like a telepathic ability. And the same one is worn on Tuvok right now.
Ooh, I like that. Yes, got to disable her weaponry.
And so she does go to the kitchen and she sees Tuvok and she sees B'Elanna. And, she's just kind of pushed in there and everything like that. And then that's where we have that conversation where B'Elanna and Tuvok are like, oh, my God, you came back. We didn't think that you'd come back. And she's like, well, I did. But now I have no idea how I'm going to help you because I can't call for help and I can't give them the signal. I can't even lift this coffee mug right here.
I wouldn't think she'd even say that because they're all under strict supervision. I think it would be more of like, wow. You're back? What are you doing here? And Kes is just playing it cool, like, it's a long story, I'll tell you later. And that's the end of the conversation. Meanwhile, maybe, I don't know, are Tuvok and B'Elanna relieved to their quarters for the day since Kes is going to work the kitchen, or are they all working together?
I want to see them all work together so that they can find a way to have that conversation where,
okay,
like, Tuvok somehow lets her know we're being watched, like we're being recorded. He yeah. kind of intimates that. And then yeah. so they have to hold off the conversation I just said to a later date.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, because they're going to have to somehow find a way to privately meet, maybe in somebody's quarters, I don't know. Another reveal we ought to have is Tuvok knows how to disable the collar, but we'll get there.
Yeah, like they need something, though. They need something to disable the collar. Where that's part of the episode is that they have to find that one thing that like B'Elanna has the technical prowess to get it off, but she needs that one tool that they keep under lock and key. That's the MacGuffin that Kes has to get in order to release them.
Or does Kes just do it? Like, are you kidding me? Clank.
Well, but the thing is, her powers are disabled as well. That's why she has the collar on.
Right, right, right. I know that, but what if they're so powerful that it's not completely suppressing her entirely? And she explains
that.
That
feels
that.
Like a cheat.
No? Oh, no, fine. Okay, like we'll deal with the physical world.
Yeah.
We'll get a tool.
But that's the thing, is that like we cannot make her godlike. We need to put things in the way of her
success.
It's
true. It's true. It's true. We can't make her too powerful. Okay, okay. Fine.
The collar was hurdle one. Getting the technology to take the collar off is hurdle two, and hurdle three is getting off the ship alive.
Okay. So what is the plan that Tuvok, B'Elanna, and Kes come up with? Because they obviously know they have no future aboard this ship. How are they going to get off of it? What are they going to do? I think for one thing, we still do not reveal that the Ocampo are on their way. Kes has faked the damage to her ship. And it's going to be a very quick fix for B'Elanna to set it right. So they have a means of escape, her ship.
Yes, yes.
So that's good. But the last time Kes tried this, it didn't go so well, and Neelix died. So what are they going to do differently this time and actually ensure that they safely get off this ship and it actually works?
One thing that keeps popping into my head is that Kim is a sadist, and so he loves the idea of her being back as a servant.
Yes.
And so what if he tries to recreate that situation where he wants her to deliver his dinner again? And
okay.
So she has to go to the ready room with his dinner, and the thing that goes differently is that she plays the long game. Instead of trying to attack him right then and there, she realizes that if she drops off his dinner, distracts him. So I guess we got to figure out what is the piece of technology and where is it that she needs? Is it a code? Is it a handheld device that's held in his office?
Yeah, it's got to be with him, right? It can't just be laying around in engineering because that's a little too easy. Yeah, I'm thinking it's got to be just something like, I don't know, a futuristic screwdriver that they used to turn the damn thing off.
So does he have it in his belt? Is it on his desk?
It's in his quarters. I feel like it's It's on his desk, and he's even holding it out there in plain sight, just in a way to kind of taunt Kes when she's in his quarters. Like, this is your way out. Take the bait.
So what does she do? Like, does she, like, does she do something stupid enough as in, like, drop the soup in his lap or something like that? Or what does she do? Like, how does she get it?
What I'm wondering is, we haven't done a whole lot of this in the Mirror Universe just yet. I wonder if she's playing it where, yeah, she's so grateful that she's back aboard the ship, and she starts putting the moves on Harry
to distract him. I knew you were going to go to this.
Hey, it's the Mirror Universe, man. Everybody's sleeping with everybody.
No, you're right. You're right. That's the thing, is that, like, in the Mirror Universe, the one thing that is very different from the Prime Universe is that it's very much sexy time. Like, it is.
Yeah, lots of sex.
Like, doesn't matter, like, what gender you are, what you look like, everybody's sleeping with everybody else. And so I'm glad you brought it up before me. You know, so
more than anything.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought it up, because then I don't, like, have any kind of guilt for making this situation
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, you sexist male. What the hell? No. This is the Mirror Universe, and this is how it works. That's just it. So let's work with that. Let's use that to our advantage rather than decry it and say, oh, that's awful. That's just the way they are.
So let's combine the two. She spills the soup, and then spills the soup on him, but then she cleans it up.
Yeah. And then they're just a little close.
Yes.
And then she starts, like, ooh, I never realized how attractive your eyes are. Or something, where she just starts swooning all over him, and it's really gross.
Yeah. So, like, I think Kim would see right through that. What if there still needs to be desperation in her voice? And you can tell me if you want to go in a different direction.
Okay.
There needs to be, like, Kim is smart. And so she spills the soup on him. She tries to clean it up. There's that awkward, weird moment where they gets kind of close. And she goes, I know, you know, like, I'm not the best servant. I know I'm not the best cook. But I'm willing to stay by any means necessary. And that's when she gets really close to him. And ooh, that's what he can believe.
Okay, I like that. And I want to just add one more thing to that, which is she plays it like she's desperately in fear for her life for spilling the soup on him.
Yes.
Just like, yes, oh my gosh, yes, I can't like believe that. I did that. I'm such a horrible servant. Oh my gosh, please don't kill me. Oh, please, please, please. Oh my, how attractive you are.
And that's when she swipes the tool.
While he's sleeping, maybe. Yeah.
So you want her to go? You want her to actually go all the way?
Hey, she's in this for the long game, is she not?
I was gonna have Kim make her go away.
Oh no, maybe we cut to after sexy time, but clearly.
Oh, I wasn't even gonna have the sexy time. Like, I was just gonna have her intimate that she was willing to do that, but she's
nah.
No. Here's the thing. I do not think that Kes would she's toying with him. I do not think Kes would debase herself, because remember, this is the person that she's trying to kill, and this is the person who killed Neelix.
Yes, and so this is basically going to be a traumatic experience for her to go through. But do the ends justify the means?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I think it's enough for we as an audience to go, oh my God, like, is she just playing? Like, we obviously know that she's playing around, but we kind of question, how far is she willing to take it? And she takes it that far where
I would almost
it's
say
just up into it.
You have to have her sleep with Harry to make the audience completely second guess everything that is going on. Like, wow, just how far is she? What is she doing here? You have to question, okay, is this real? Is she serious? Or is this still a part of the game? And of course it is, but she's crossing some serious boundaries. Because otherwise, how else is she getting this futuristic screwdriver thing? Seriously.
I don't know.
We have to figure this out.
I accept this in order to move on, but I do it under protest.
Fine, fair enough. I feel like she would have to. And then Harry comes to, he's alone in his quarters, and guess what is missing from the desk? Now things are set in motion, and he is furious. He's like, I knew it! I knew it! I knew it! I shouldn't have done it! Dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it, dang it, and here we go.
Yeah, and then the chase happens. Then he alerts his security. Everybody's looking for her. She yep. already has the collar off, and so we see some people coming at her, and she just throws him up against the wall with her mind. Doesn't even look at him.
Yeah, yeah, well, I like it. They're just flying through the air like hockey pucks. And, of course, does she have Tuvok and B'Elanna with them, or with her?
She's on her way to get Tuvok and B'Elanna.
Okay, okay.
So she just barrels through and rips open the door of their quarters and says, let's go.
Yeah, then she uses her mind to disable Tuvok's collar thing or what have you.
Right.
Just to show off her power. And off they go. Okay, the chase is on. Next thing.
Oh, I like that. Just to add just a little bit to that moment, because I'm not changing anything, but just to add to it where, you know, Tuvok says, obviously you got the tool. Where is it? You know, like, we need to take off my collar. And she's like, yeah, we don't need that anymore.
We don't need that anymore. Yeah.
And then she just kind of like jerks her head just a little bit and then boom, it falls to the ground.
Yeah, we watch it just bam, explode practically right off of Tuvok's neck. Oh,
And then they go to the shuttle bay and they make their way and everybody's chasing them. But somehow Kim is able to corner them.
Okay.
Kim is able to, what to, like, if he has a collar, what if he has something else that would debilitate certain abilities?
Such as?
I don't know. Do we want to go in that direction or do we want him to trap her in different ways?
No, I think we can work with that, where they're just about to approach the shuttle bay doors. Kim has figured out what is going on and he's there with probably some officers. And yeah, then what? Does he have something like a taser that's going to physically disable them?
I think what happens, okay, I think two things need to happen.
Okay.
The second thing, because I haven't figured out the first thing yet. The second thing that needs to happen is that Janeway kills Kim.
Whoa, okay.
We need to bring Janeway back into this. And so that's like, because Kim is distracted enough to the point where she doesn't have to worry. Like, all these security guards are dead and she's waiting for Kes to do her damage.
Uh-huh.
And so Kim corners Kes. And he knows that it's futile. And at that moment, like, he has a gun trained on B'Elanna or Tuvok or something like that. Or maybe he grabs B'Elanna or grabs Tuvok and is holding them hostage, like, with a gun to their neck and saying, like, it's like, if you move a muscle, like, if you try to move me, this trigger's gonna blow, or, like, I'm gonna blow their head off. Even you're not that fast, even with your advanced capabilities. And he just drops. He screams and then drops. And then the camera reveals Janeway behind him.
Mm.
And she shoots him in the back.
Okay, so is this Janeway's rise to power once again then?
Yes. And thus, but not the end of our story, and not the end of Kes's story, because Janeway is still a bastard.
Of course. She's kind of a nutcase in this universe.
She's like, I'm the captain now. I'm back to the Captain C, and I'm going to use you. Kesko's like, no, you're not. and
Janeway's then, like, hashtag never forget.
Yeah. Janeway says, like, I already disabled your ship. You have nowhere to go. And that's when Kesk says, I didn't need the ship. And then she taps a button and the ship explodes and, like, damages the ISS Intrepid, opens up a gaping hole in their shuttle bay.
Ooh, I like it.
And it rocks the ship, and that's when we see the fleet of Ocampo come in.
Ooh, through the now exploded part of Voyager that's barely being held together by a force field, no less. That would be a cool visual.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And she's like, you didn't think I'd come in here alone, did you? Or something like
yeah.
that.
Some sort of cheesy line. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. And so, yeah, where do we go from there?
So now the Ocampans are here, and are they going to take the ship? Or are they just going to take Kes back with possibly Tuvok and B'Elanna?
I think Kes gives Tuvok and B'Elanna the choice. They're like, okay, well, you can run this ship and try to take it home if you'd like, or you can come back with us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what we could do is Tuvok and B'Elanna say, no, it's like, we still support the Terrans. We are still, you know, like a part of the Terran Empire. You know, B'Elanna's like, I'm still half human and we have to get this ship back. If you can help us with the repairs, you know, like we still need to go on our journey. And that's when Kes goes, maybe I can do a little bit more for you than just repair the ship. And that's when she flings them back home. Yeah.
That would be interesting. So then we're even putting a little bit of the gift into the mirror universe. No, I like that. So then Kes just goes back with her Ocampa and cohorts. Like, I've done enough here and I've made this right enough and I'm going to go live my life now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she going to be happy with that?
I think so. She avenged Neelix's death. She kept her promise with B'Elanna and Tuvok and helped them get home. And now she's with her own people and she's in a position of power. I think things go well. And this is the end of the Mirror Universe series.
Well, okay. You know what's so weird is this is basically a happy ending for the Mirror Universe.
It is.
That seems kind of counterintuitive, don't you think? But I also like it because this wraps things up fairly nicely.
And so, and like one of the last shots is we see Janeway and Chakotay in a cell together.
Oh, I love it. And they're like making out. Conjugal visit.
Sure, there you go. Why not?
The end.
The end.
Perfect if you ask me. Okay, well, that's it. We have officially wrapped up the Mirror Universe as we see fit in Voyager on the ISS Intrepid.
There you go. That's it.
Wow. Okay. Well, this is not the only thing that we're talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, The Orb.
This episode takes place in the sixth season, so Kira is already very, very well established as a character. And part of what this story does, I think, is to challenge the foundation upon which Kira has built her life and her goals in life.
To the journey! We would get some definite Janeway side boob in if it's a Star Trek Enterprise.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be covered up with camera angles, and we wouldn't, you know, it'd be more than just Chakotay getting a look, is what you're saying.
Meta Treks.
Wait, so we've got something borrowed, and we've got something blue. Spock is wearing blue. Henok is wearing blue.
Henok is wearing
blue. This sounds like the making of a disembodied marriage to me. I don't know what you're thinking.
Stage 9, a podcast about the people who make Star Trek.
I kind of have a standing rule that if I didn't like number one, I don't watch the sequel.
Okay, what did you think about Star Trek the Motion Picture?
What? Okay, you're going to get me in trouble here.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all those shows, plus a whole lot more. New Trek Talk comes to you every single day of the week. We are a listener-supported network, so none of it is possible without your help. And if you're not already a subscriber, go to patreon.com/trekfm and consider helping us out if you like what we do. Now at TTJ, we have our associate producers to thank, and those awesome people are Ju Kim, Kay Janeway, Brian Belicio, Dante Hopkins, Bruce Lish, Jamie Deuce, and Kenneth Tripp. Thanks to you guys so much for being associate producers of TTJ, and we hope you'll continue to support the new crew when it comes aboard. So, one of the best ways to contact us if you want to talk about what we've got in store for you, although we're not going to tell you that much yet. Stay tuned till next week. Or if you have something to say about the Mirror Universe or anything TTJ related, you can contact us on Twitter. That is the best way. And my handle is OTheProfanity. Tristan, you are at
The Insane Robin.
And you can also email us if you have something a little more lengthy. Go to trek.fm/contact, and that will send us an email. And so please keep that in mind. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun, and we've got two more episodes to go. No, we are not going to tell you what we're doing next week. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!